Quentin Decker has a show at the Watermark Art Center. He lives in Missoula, Montana. He's a painter whose style is inspired by graffiti. It's a super cool show. If you can't get to the Watermark for whatever reason, whether it's your health or just can't get there, I would definitely recommend going to their website, watermarkartcenter.org, and clicking through the virtual exhibit. It's just it's a really bold, cool exhibit, and he's on the phone to talk to me this morning. How are you doing, Quentin?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for taking time to talk with us. I know it's a little earlier out in Missoula. How is it in Missoula today?
It's a little cloudy.
Okay. It's
cold, too, actually.
In the valley? Isn't it in the valley over there?
Yeah. Yeah, in the valley here. It's a little overcast, I think, outside.
Okay. Well, if somebody had never seen your work, if you walked up to somebody in the airport and told them that you were an artist, how would you describe your style and this particular show?
At times, like personally, I feel it looks a little messy.
Oh.
And it might feel a little busy, visually speaking, some of the work. And mainly, I would say, expressive. I try to show that through, you know, the strokes, the line work, or my use of color and stuff like that. So
there seems to be characters in your pieces. I'm not all, yeah, there's like a form of some kind when I'm looking through your work. How do you find those inspirations, or what's your process like?
Well, in terms of the characters, I've recently been getting back into this childhood addiction of collecting cards and Pokemon cards, and the diversity of characters in that show and in the card game, and then also not just in the card game but in graffiti, kind of just inspired me to, usually it's I try to see the character in the marks that I'm making on the canvas and work from there usually.
Whoa, so it sort of presents itself to you?
Usually it kind of reveals itself to me in some way, you know. I mean, sometimes I'll have some like thoughts that inspire it, like the Kool-Aid piece that I have in the show. It's titled Cool Down, but that's one that I knew before going on to like painting it on the canvas. I knew that's what I wanted it to be.
Huh.
And so sometimes I'll have that notion of what it's going to turn into, but most of the time it's just making a mark and,
wow,
being expressive, you know, on the canvas.
That's true inspiration, just letting it come blindly almost.
Yeah, sometimes it's just a little more, I don't want to try and get too bogged down in an idea sometimes when I'm making, like if I have a sketch of a piece that I want to do, sometimes it just seems too limiting in terms of like, that's what I want it to be and this is how it's going to look, you know. And
yeah,
if I just start making marks and letting it kind of come out, it feels a lot more free in that way.
Huh. Have you always been creating, like when you were a kid?
For the most part, yeah. If I wasn't creating, I was surrounded by creative people.
Mm-hmm.
And usually that was just family. And my family's always supported the arts. And so it's just kind of, sports mainly kind of dominated my life in the beginning. So, and then creating kind of came later.
Huh.
More so.
Okay.
But.
And then you were a potter first when you were in art school. I was reading that you had originally focused on pottery, and then
right,
you made the shift to painting. Why? And then I was also wondering how those two sort of feed off each other.
Sure. Well, with regards to when I transferred from Salish Kootenai College to the university, I had to kind of pick an emphasis, and I chose ceramics because it was something I really enjoyed at SKC. I just liked the physicality of the medium, you know, working with clay with your hands, and it's exhausting work, but it's actually it's a very long process. It can be a long process, you know, but I just enjoyed working with my hands like that. But then once I graduated, I lost access to a kiln. I lost access to the space needed. And processing clay in your own apartment is a messy job, so I'm not going to do that, you know. And so I decided to switch to painting, which I felt was a little more accessible. I could go to the store and, you know, get my paints, and it was just a lot, way more accessible and ideal for my situation at the time. And I painted previously, but I hadn't painted on the scale that I have now. And, but in terms of how they feed off of each other, my ceramic work was a lot different in terms of it didn't feel like my work because I was trying to identify myself as a Navajo artist, which, and I felt like I was trying to push that too much, and it didn't feel like me. And this work that I'm making now and painting is much more like, feels like me, and I'm not trying to emphasize that identity as the centerpiece of my work. But I feel like my ceramic work is a lot different in terms of the visuals. It's very plain and angular and not, and very clean and not very as expressive as I like the painting, if that makes sense.
That's fascinating. The paintings are so, I just think they're full of life.
Thank you.
Yeah, they're so colorful and bold, and they do have a graffiti feel, yet they do have a real fine art feel at the same time. Have you done graffiti on trains?
No, I couldn't bring myself to, you know, doing something like that. You know, it's not to discredit people that do it, but I feel like as long as it's in a approved place,
sure.
You know, like if somebody tells you, yeah, you can do this on this wall, then I find that respect with like people that if you're going to tag something, you better be respectful about it. Don't just put one up and destroy a piece, you know, or,
yeah,
you know, I feel like that's.
How did you play around with the graffiti style? How did that come to you?
I guess that's a word of just describing my work. That's kind of where my mind goes when I look at it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not necessarily like a graffiti artist in like I don't tag anything and I don't go out and put up pieces, you know. It's just something it's an art style that I do like, though. I enjoy looking at pictures of them or I like seeing them outside. And usually the scale is what really just kind of blows my mind in terms of how they can create that size of a work.
Mm-hmm. Well, how many pieces are in the show?
I believe there is 13. I mean, there's 19, but 5 of them are put together as one piece.
Ah, okay.
I believe.
And you haven't been to the Watermark because of COVID, is that right?
Right. It's kind of a trip and to for me to make it over there, but I really want to try and go see it all up because I've never had all this work up in one place.
Oh, that's so exciting. So this is one of a first really big show, it sounds like.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It's new for me, all the process of shipping my work over to the art gallery and just organizing my body of work, all kind of the after you create your body of work, all the titles, and very much a process for me. I'm so glad I've learned it, you know, I'm glad I'm going through it.
Oh, I'm so excited for you. What do you hope happens next in your art career?
I hope to just keep pushing it. I hope to keep creating and I don't know what is going to happen yet. What's going to happen? Kind of like my canvases, sometimes I'll just create something and I'm not really sure where it's going to go, but hopefully it's in the right direction, you know, and that's kind of my hope right now, you know. I think I just need to keep making and keep exhibiting work.
I think so too. It's super cool work. I recommend people go to either the watermarkartcenter.org and check it out virtually, or go to the Watermark Art Center itself. I just think it's super fresh and lively.
Thank you.
And I see that there's heaviness to it, but there's also a real lightness to it too. It's
heaviness in terms of like
sometimes maybe there's a message in there. There's maybe a hidden message or something that I'm like, oh, there's, and maybe I need to look at the piece more or something. But then at the same, like the cow, I'm thinking of the bull.
Oh yeah,
I love that bull. But But then I'm like wondering what it's trying to say to me. I feel like there's something deeper.
Sure.
But it's so bold and fun at the same time.
Thanks. Yeah, I think specifically that one, I wrote that it's about like annoyance, something that kind of bothers you. And that could mean anything, you know. It could be something that, like, pretty small that's kind of bugging you, or something bigger in that in your life that could represent, you know. And I try to show that through the eyes, and the fly is very significant in that piece for me.
Yeah. Well, you did a great job, and I'm excited for this being the launch pad for the rest of your art career. I think you're on your way.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks for taking time to talk today, and good luck with everything that's coming at you and that you're going to go into.
Thank you. I just want to give a shout-out to Karen Goulet, yeah, Peter McKenzie, and Lisa Setter for setting this all up for me. So
you've got three great people on your side in those three people, so congratulations.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Have an awesome day.
Thank you. You too.
All right. That's Quentin Decker. You can see his work at the Watermark Art Center in Bemidji, or go to watermarkartcenter.org. He's an emerging artist, and it's so exciting to see the work of emerging artists because they're just getting going, and he's so good. Check it out. Airy Voices is made possible by the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and the Citizens of Minnesota.